Hello and welcome to the Haven Podcast. My name is Joseph Vasquez. I want to thank you for joining me on another episode. Thank you for hitting the download button. Today, it's been a while since I've recorded an episode. There's a lot going on with me. If you've heard the previous episode, I made a big transition with my family. We moved from up north down to the state of Florida. I'm no longer working with the nonprofit organization that I was working for the past several years with. Working in the education field. Now I'm working in the workforce field, still serving young people, which I'm happy about and excited about and still passionate about. So I've been thinking about some things in regards to this podcast and thinking of making a change. So originally the Haven Podcast was supposed to be about educators, offering advice and strategies and things that I've learned over the years, you know, and sharing with educators, wanted to connect with educators, and just offer any help that I can, that I could. But now I want to kind of broaden the horizon and the whole aim of this podcast. It's not going to just be for educators, it's just going to be for all youth service workers. Whatever field that you are in, whether it's education, whether it's social services, whether it's an after school program, whether it's in the workforce field, it's going to gear towards the wide range of the wide variety of fields that there are in youth service. So, given some other updates in regards to the podcast, not too long ago, I created a Twitter account that you could follow us on. It's at The Haven Podcast. Feel free to follow. Leave comments or questions that you would have. You can tweet me. There's also an email you can reach me at, thehavenpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send questions or topics that you would like to be discussed on here. Just reach out. I'm all about, the whole purpose of this is about helping people to just impact young people's lives. Any advice that I give or strategies I give, I want you to know I'm not the type of person to say, what I say, the advice I give, the strategies I give, it's my way or no other way. You won't be successful unless you hear my strategies. I'm not like that at all. You can take my advice and strategies that I share, take it for yourself, change it, manipulate it to however you like or you want, or you just disregard it altogether. The whole heart of what I'm trying to do here is just, it's always about young people. I've said in previous episodes, anytime I've gotten to a stressful time in my life with work, whether I feel like I've, you know, drained myself out. I mean, working with young people, it's high stress. You can burn out. So a question I always ask myself is, Joseph, what are you doing this for? What is this all about? Why are you here? And the answer I always tell myself, it's always about the young people. So any advice that I give or strategies I share or whatever, any truth that I share, at the end of the day, it's about these young people. So that's why I'm doing this. It's not for acclaim. It's not for recognition or nothing. It's just about helping youth service workers, helping each other and connecting with each other and hearing each other's stories and edifying each other to empower each other so that we can better serve these young people. That's what this is all about. I'm going to get off my soapbox right now. Today's episode, I'm excited about. I'm going to be interviewing one of my coworkers, colleagues, and good friend, a highly esteemed colleague. His name is Leander Anderson. He has his own nonprofit organization, Trust Nation. So I'll tell you a little bit about Trust Nation, but first I'm going to tell you about the man behind Trust Nation, Leander Anderson. He's a graduate of the University of Central Florida, where he received his degree in psychology. Prior to his collegiate experience, LJ was highly recruited both athletically and academically by multiple institutions nationally, but confidently accepted a full scholarship at UCF to participate in their NCAA Division I-A football program. He became a three-year starter for the athletic program and helped lead the Knights to their first conference championships and major bowl appearances in Hawaii and Memphis, Tennessee. He became a freshman all-conference athlete and received multiple academic awards throughout his collegiate career. His athletic success allowed him to receive professional attention and participation with the Kansas City Chiefs after his college years. So this is, he's actually one of our first, you know, high status, big time, high profile guest. Thank you, LJ, for joining us here on the Haven Podcast. It is an honor to have you.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate that.
All right, all right. So you've been doing youth services for quite some time now. Oh, I'm on his website. And the music comes just came on. Sorry about that. So I can read, you know, I'm on your website. I can read who you are, but why don't you give us, from your own words, what Trust Nation All-Stars Incorporated is all about?
I'm still trying to figure out who I am, to be honest. Trust Nation is not just the name. Trust Nation is a brand that my boys and I started a while ago. They were a little younger. They were about 13 years old. They're like 18 and 20 now, between 18 and 20 years old now. So it's been about 5 years. Mm-hmm. But Trust Nation started as a mere AAU program. AAU is an amateur athletic union, which is a sport organization that gears towards certain sports and you play that are under college age. So all of my boys were playing basketball with me on the team. And what I decided to do with Trust Nation was I wanted to incorporate more of a academic success and a character enrichment in the program. So most of the kids I was dealing with, they were used to just playing basketball. Mm-hmm. They weren't used to people pushing them in the academic arena, teaching them how to be athletes on the court and off the court. So I was trying to find a way to put that formula together because that's how we grew up when we were young. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring that to this generation. So with Trust Nation, it was a different program. And the All-Stars part of it, I just believed all my kids were stars. Mm-hmm. And no matter what background they came from, what they knew, what was their academic success, their character success, they were all All-Stars to me. So we called it the Trust Nation All-Stars. And when I put the program together, one of the key components to the program was the academic success and the character enrichment, because without those things, they were going to be student athletes. A lot of my kids want to go to college and mm-hmm. play sports, and they didn't have a clue what it meant. And I was like, okay, here I am, a person who's been to college. I've right. been there, done that. All that stuff is old to me. But I know the path, and they wanted to just shoot the basketball and just play sports, but had no manners, no character, couldn't mm-hmm. speak, didn't know how to read, write, anything. And I was concerned about my guys, so I put a formula together that used basketball as a tool to draw them in. Mm-hmm. And we imputed in them, we downloaded in them the importance of academic success, and we downloaded in them character role modeling. And the success of the program was to see years later, as we planted that seed in them when they were young, years later they became a lot more fruitful in yeah. their interactions as student athletes. And even some of them, their dreams were like, I just want to play professional basketball. And you look at them and you see that they're 4'11". You know, their ankles are a little weak. And you don't tell them they can't go, but what you do is you help them exhaust their options, because mm-hmm. you give them so much to choose from that they realize that they didn't have to be a one-sided athlete. They realize that, man, some of them are doing good in college playing basketball, yeah. and some of them never made it past high school. But that's because now they have a full concept of who they are, because mm-hmm. the athletics, they brought them an opportunity to find out academically what they could achieve, which they career explored. They found out what they could do. And then character-wise, they are role models to the younger society. So they stand out as a black stain on a white shirt in this generation. Mm-hmm. So that's what Trust Nation has produced.
I love what you're saying about, you know, Trust Nation All-Stars is, you know, letting these young people know that they are stars. I with my experience in working with young people, for instance, when I was working in a school setting, mm-hmm. you know, we used to play basketball with them all the time. These young people, they'll get all cocky and think they, you know, they're the bomb and they're the best right, thing since right. Kobe, you know, that stuff.
Of course. That's how they that's
but
how
in reality, though, they do have a lot of low self-esteem. And I think that that's so important, that in order to change that mind frame, you have to start somewhere. So saying something simple that may seem like nothing, saying like, you are trust, you're part of Trust Nation All-Stars, you are an all-star, that kind of helps them to kind of renew that mind, that whole mindset, that whether it's a defeatist mindset or pessimistic mindset, you're planting a seed of optimism inside right. of them and helping them to establish who they have the potential to be.
Right.
Because a lot of them, they don't know that, right?
So they don't have a clue. And I think being a part of Trust Nation was more than just a basketball team. And being in this neighborhood in Osceola County, a lot of the young people who are of Hispanic background, they come to America from their country or either some part of the Hispanic spectrum of islands, and they come here with this big American dream, but they don't understand quite the process.
Yeah.
And so when you have a group of kids, and me myself being an African American male who grew up in South Carolina where the diversity of people was limited, and now that I'm in this big pool of diverse cultures and religions and people from different areas and backgrounds, trying to get them to understand my concept is the hardest thing because, like you said, a lot of them, they don't have an idea of who they are. They have a low self-esteem, but they project this big, big person. But inside, they're very limited with what they can do and who they think they are. So my program is one of the most, I want to say, disrespected programs because a lot of the young people don't believe that what I'm teaching, they need. Yeah. Because I take a kid back to the foundation. My whole strategy of development is in the three core areas of foundation and fundamental. I if you come to me and you want to make it and you want to do something, I have to do a demolition project, which is I have to tear you down all the way to the foundation and find out where are these cracks. Because as you build on a cracked foundation, it's bound to fall apart. So we have to go down to the foundation. Most individuals don't give me the time. They don't think in their mind, I don't need you to do all of that. You don't have to take me because I'm Kobe in my mind. Or I'm LeBron. I don't need your little dribble with one hand thing and close one eye and dribble. I don't need that. I can just go on the court and shoot. So you have so many of the kids that just go on the courts and just do things in life based on what they copied. Not what they know. It's based on what they mimic.
With no structure, structure. And that's why they set those unrealistic expectations.
Everything's
like
unrealistic. Everything's on Mars. Everything's on Jupiter. So it's like they have this fantasy in their mind. So when we deal with Trust Nation has to do the thing that we know to do, which is to demolition. We have to provide a demolishing, not of who they are, but what they knew from the past.
Yeah.
So we have to take all
those
information.
And those bad habits that they picked up along the way.
Oh, man, you have a kid tell me, oh, coach, but I go to the court every day. And I said, well, that doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. You know, that doesn't mean that you're working on the right thing. You could be developing a bad habit doing something over and over and over again. So I have
a janitor goes to a basketball court every day to clean up the court. Exactly. That'll make him a basketball player.
You know, I always tell people with Trust Nation, I say, young man or young woman, whoever it is, I say, you're either, we want to make you into a holistic person. I said, you know, kids come to me and say, I play basketball. I said, there's a difference between being a basketball player, which is the career of it, or you're just a kid that likes to play basketball. You know, and I'm dealing with a lot of kids that like to play basketball, and they're not really basketball players. Now, I don't care if a kid makes it in basketball or not. I just use the basketball as a bait, just as a fish to a worm on a hook. I just want to use the ball as a tool to draw them in and then to encourage them in other areas.
To expose them to things that they've never...
Because a lot of the awareness is low.
Yeah.
But the funniest part about it, Joseph, is when you deal with these kids and you look at... One thing I look at the most is that they really think that they have a solution to their problem, but they're just circling in the same.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of programs allow kids to be used. Now, I'm not a big fan of watching a kid win a trophy and get a medal, and at the end of their service, they're done.
Yeah.
I like to see if a kid is going to withdraw out of them, then that means they need to be a deposit to put them back together. And so with Trust Nation, a lot of the individuals, they come on my program and they get real frustrated because a lot of the things I teach are ABC type things, like ABC, very basic. And it's hard for them because they built without a foundation. So when you're trying to introduce a foundation to them, it's easier to deal with a younger young man because they're easier to sponge it, to pretty much absorb it.
Yeah.
When you're older, when you're like 17, 18, start playing for some of these high school that they tell you, you're the man, Jimmy. Jimmy, you shoot the ball, man, you got us that state championship. But when Jimmy's tried to go to college, it's hard for Jimmy because Jimmy has never played with the elite of the world. Yeah. So I try to teach my boys to have an elitist mentality where in academics you're elite, in your character you're elite, and if basketball proves to be an option for you, you be elite there too. Mm-hmm. So it's just an elite competitive edge category for all of my boys in every area of Trust Nation.
That's powerful. And seeing on your website, you've had a lot of success with these young people. Talk about, I guess, how it all got started. What made you, you know, want to start all this with this whole mentoring?
Well, I was the director at the Boys and Girls Club, which serviced at the time. I was over about 300 young individuals between 6 years old to 18 years old. And I had a strong population of young men. All of them thought they could play basketball. So what I decided to do was what you said earlier, to bring exposure to the young men. I knew that in order for these young men to get their attitudes together and to really understand what they could do, they had to be exposed to some of the greatest talents. So I had a group of young men, and they weren't anybody special. It wasn't, I didn't have LeBron walking in. I didn't have the Kobe's. I had just a group of ordinary individuals. And they came in, and for some reason, they bought into what we were saying. And we took a portion of the Boys and Girls Club and turned them into all-stars with our program. And those boys started off very, very skeptical. They came from different programs. My program to them sounded like a lie because they didn't believe that someone would care that much to go that extra mile. Right. So they would come into the program, and we started in about 2010 with a group of young men. And we were just a mere basketball team. And our first year, we put them in some of the hardest competitions. I mean, one of my philosophies in life is that you want to learn something, let's jump in the fire and let's go ahead and see if we get burned, or we walk out unburned. And we got killed every game. We got beat the brakes off of us. We got whooped every chance we got. I mean, 50 points, 60 points. It was so bad that I wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. It was that bad. But I knew the concept was, once these boys get through this year, taking a nice butt cutting from a lot of great athletes and a lot of great coaches, and they realize that it's not their little fish tank of a neighborhood, they would open their mind to learning. So what I did that on purpose, so that when I brought them back to the lab, I call the gym the lab, every year at the end of that year, I bring them back to the lab, and they would absorb everything because they didn't want to go out there and face that whooping again. So the next year, Joseph, that's when they went out and started to show the world that we're not the same team. And they became the Trust Nation All-Stars, which they became nationally known. They became regionally known. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our young men now are currently in college playing ball. And we're successful in their grades with 3.7s and higher. I had a couple guys that were 4.0 students. So we were actually blessed with a great group. Nice. We took some boys who had a trashy mentality. Mm-hmm. And we were able to discover some treasure about them.
Yeah, I'm looking at on your website, the testimonials, the all-stars. There's a young man, what he says is, Trust Nation teaches me how to believe in myself. My confidence is greater than ever. No one can take my confidence away. He's had college acceptances to Weber International University, Maasai University, and Valencia College. Another young man says, Trust Nation shows me love and support in my lowest moments in life. Now I'm stronger, better, and more confident than ever. His college acceptances, University of Miami, University of South Florida, University of Central Florida,
Chatham. That's the school he's at Chatham College in Pennsylvania.
Florida Atlantic University, Florida International University, Northwood University, Valencia
and
College.
Let me tell you a little story about that young man. That young man's name is Nazir Alexander, and he came to me at ninth grade, and he was 14 years old. And I remember he was playing around in school, and he thought that because life was so comfortable to him and he played basketball that he was a sure in to college. And I remember grabbing him and we pulled to the side and I said, let me explain something to you. I said, your grades are abysmal. Mm-hmm. I said, your grades look horrible. And I said, and you're not that good of an athlete to go to college with this. Yeah. I said, you're going to need to pull these grades up. We had a very hard heart-to-heart. He didn't have the family structure that he desired. Mm-hmm. So we provided him a lot of comfort and a lot of security as men, and even with some of the women that we were associated with Trust Nation that we built around him. Young man walked out top 25 in the school and ended up being a 4.14 GPA.
Wow.
And now he's at school. Now, let me tell you this other story about this young man real quick. This young man came to me and he said that He wanted to go to this school called Chatham University in Pennsylvania. And I was concerned because it was really far and Chatham University expensive. He wasn't the athlete everybody was looking for, so no one was going to pay him to go to school because he wasn't that. He didn't have the politics of an athlete. Long story short, he comes to me and says, I want to go to this school. He said, there's a competition that gives one scholarship to the entire, one scholarship out of all the applications, one scholarship. They'll pay for everything. And I said, if you want it, I said, go get it. He said, but I don't know how. I said, I taught you everything. He said, well, can you walk with me through it? We did everything together. The essay, helping him get everything together, giving him that, like I said earlier, being elite in your excellence, even off the court. And we get information back that this young man got the award of the presidential scholarship, $45,000 a year to go to school for absolutely free. And this is the same young man that started with me with no grades. Always was smart, but didn't take school serious. When we put that seriousness in him, he was able to blossom into this.
I love what you said, too, because you said we created, I'll say it in my words, a web of support. And that's what's so important for these young people. And to tell, you know, some young youth service workers, if you're just new into youth services, if you put it all on yourself, by yourself, and you have this savior mentality, you're going to break your own back. You're going to burn out.
Right.
You have to develop a web of support where it's not just one person. Because if you leave, then what does that person have? But if you can create a support system where one may, you know, leave for whatever reasons, but as long as there's other people around, that person could be more successful because of that web of support. And then you as an individual, as a youth service worker, can be more successful in what you do. Talk about yourself personally and growing up. I know we've had many conversations and you've talked about the web of support that you've had of young, of great men who've come alongside you and were able to build you up and make you the man you are.
Yeah, well, growing up in South Carolina, I couldn't ask for a better upbringing, even though at the time I didn't understand it. But I did grow up with some of the best role models and a great stream of support. The greatest stream of support started in my home, even though my mother and father are currently not together. At the time, my mother and father built a society around us that kept us safe, secure, and most importantly, kept us grounded in our faith. It kept us grounded in what we needed to know, and it kept us grounded in the future that was ahead of us. I had some great coaches around me. I faced a lot of adversity, but one of the things that I noticed more about my childhood was there were more healthy connections growing up. The churches were connected with the community centers. The community centers were connected to the schools. The schools were connected to the homes. So it was such a great dynamic, a maze of support. And in this generation, I don't see it. I don't see it as much. I know there are still there are educators and people doing some great things, but the strategy of how it used to connect is not as prevalent. And I want that back. I may not get it back, but if I can develop a program that could at least give those flavors, that's what I do. And growing up as a child, I think the hardest thing for me was I never really fit in with my siblings because I'm a bigger guy. I'm, for everybody, I know you can't see me, but I'm about 6'4". And I'm about 300 pounds, so I was always
a former football player.
And I'm a former football player. And I grew up with very beautiful siblings that were skinnier and that were toner. My sister is the former Miss South Carolina. My brother in the former Miss United States. My brother is a two-time state champion from basketball in high school, went to college for free. So I grew up with two siblings that I never really fit in with. We love each other, but I didn't see myself around them. And so I really didn't know what I was capable of doing. So growing up was very difficult for me because I had that low self-esteem myself. Even though I was a big guy, I had low self-esteem. The only reason why I played football, because my father played college. If you read my bio, you'll see that my father played college basketball at Clemson. And he had a run with the 76ers in the NBA until he got hit by a car. With that dream being diffused, he put a lot of expectation on us as children. And a lot of times it didn't make sense what he wanted out of us versus what was in us as children individually. And so I only played football. I played football like last year, high school. I got all these accolades and awards. And I did that so my father could pay attention to me. And my father, I know he loves me. I just don't think he ever know how to show it or know how to express it. Mm-hmm. So everything that I did with Trust Nation, I did based on what I learned from my father. But I give the kids extra, which is the affection and love of a man, which is making sure that they know I'm proud of them. Mm-hmm. Making sure that they know I'm going to be there. Making sure they know that a hug is okay. Making sure they know they can cry. So a lot of the things that were secured to us growing up with everything being connected, we were able to vent about things healthily and had mentors to help us get it together. Now the kids are venting online with no mentoring. They're venting to each other with no support, no evaluation, no correction. So we're dealing with a very arrogant generation. Even my daughter, I can tell you this story. My daughter was telling me, she was looking at a test and she said, she said, "Dad, that's not how you spell Antarctica." And I said, "Baby, that's how you spell Antarctica. Oh, let me look it up." I quickly went growing up, if I had told that to my mother, my father, my grandmother, I don't think I would have teeth in my mouth because I couldn't look it up.
Yeah.
If a parent said something, we would trust the parents. So now we're dealing with a generation of kids who know it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grow up that way. We grew up where we had an order of knowledge.
Yeah.
Now the knowledge is just so out there that with programs like teaching and being social services, it's very difficult to be in the children, the child care agencies and social service and dealing with young people, because they're so exposed to stuff that we as young people growing up were not exposed to. So their levels of getting to success are so much harder to break through because of all that they're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So Trust Nation tries to build a atmosphere of what I grew up in, which is we built this safety net around these kids to block away kind of those STDs from those kids. And STDs in this conversation is not sexually transmitted diseases. We're talking about all of those spiritual transmitted diseases that you can't see. You can't see when a kid is hurting in this generation. The kid is shouting out, but you can't tell that they just want their dad. They just want their mom. So we provide a mom and pop type feel for Trust Nation.
I mean, because a lot of these young people are dealing with such serious issues. You and I, we have these conversations all the time.
Right.
So, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about the whole web of support, right? So you could have a young person in school doing well or maybe struggling, but they're going through some serious things at home or whatever. And again, they don't have like that outlet, you know, or they're venting and it's not productive for them or whatever, or they're venting to their friends, but there's absolutely no positive or, you know, reproductive outcome from that, you know, where they're producing anything. So, you know, it's important that you, like you're saying, having support from every aspect because, you know, this is the generation that we live in. And it's unfortunate that they don't have, you know, the things that maybe you have when you grew up.
Yeah, and I don't judge the kids based on that because I know it's not their fault. Yeah. And a lot of the parents, you know, a lot of them, I live in Kissimmee, Florida. I don't know where you live. Where you live?
I live in Kissimmee.
Yeah. Where you live now? You come from New York. You know, I live in Kissimmee. I'm not from Kissimmee, Florida. But one thing I've noticed about this area, and I want your listeners to know that this area is very different from where you came from.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very tough for you to accept a lot of the slowness of not just the people movement, but in their decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in a time where people said what they meant what they said, and their yes was yes, and their no was no. Words today, to me, I believe, are becoming cheaper. Mm-hmm. And when you say something and don't follow through, but then have no remorse towards it or have no guilt or no type of urgency towards it, I have a problem. So instead of me trying to change the world, I decided to build one to where in Trust Nation, individuals could come and partake in a world that I know once exists, a one that will allow you to be competitive and one that will allow you to be excellent in everything you did, not just in the basketball arena or academics. It's to be a better father, a better husband. We were trying to produce fathers, husbands. I believe some of the women in the world deserve some real men, some men that could support and take care of them. And I want to be a program that distributes those men throughout the nation so that our women have better choice of support. And I think that's best for any women listening, that you want your sons and anybody to be associated with these type of programs, because those are the programs that will preserve where the world is going.
Yeah. And I love the quote that you have here. I was just looking for it because, like, you always, like what you were saying, the whole thing is it's beyond sports. You use sport as a bait You know, but a quote you have on your website is, ball is not your life. Your life is more than a ball. Sports should be used as a way to improve the quality of life.
Yes.
I think that says it all right there. That's so amazing, especially because, again, LJ, you're an African-American man. I have Latino blood. So with people of color, they have these, they build these values and goals based off of what they see that's out there. So, like, you know, LeBron is flashy. He's on top of the world, you know, Kobe Bryant. So they want to be like that. Or they see a rapper like Drake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they get these, you know, they build these fleeting goals, these goals that are so fickle.
Talk about it.
You know, because, you know what it is. I mean, you have, you know, friends yourself who are in, like, the NFL, right? All right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they build these unrealistic expectations for themselves, saying, oh, you know, I'm going to be in the NBA, I'll be a rapper. You know, I used to tell young people all the time when I was in the school setting, in the education field, you know, when young people used to say, oh, I want to be a rapper, do you know what that entails? Do you know the work that goes behind it? Do you know what a rapper makes off of their album sales? Each record, they probably get less than a quarter.
Right.
For their album, that they, each album that they sell. Exactly. So all this whole thing that they look like they got all this money, that's not true, you know? And it's like, it's kind of what you're saying. It's not to discourage them from, you know, pursuing certain things, but it's making things realistic to them because they have this, again, what they see on TV, this, oh, the glamour and the jewelry and the money and the women and all that stuff, but that's not the reality of it. And that's not... You know, you don't know, also, you don't know, for those who were so successful, you don't know the hard work that went into it to become what they became.
And that's the part that I would love to piggyback on, is that LeBron and Kobe and all of those rappers, all those people have background stories that people do not have an idea mm-hmm. what they've had to sacrifice mm-hmm. and what they've had to put in yeah. to get to those levels. Now, those young men and even young women who are successful in that arena, there's a different world that exists that they have to live in. Mm-hmm. But most of our young people don't have a clue about the dangers they face every day, because even them, they've had to make some sacrifices. I know there's some athletes that will not sell themselves for a dollar, and there are some athletes that will. Mm-hmm. But the point is that if you start your life in your lowest part as a young man before college, and you're already practicing selling yourself, you're going to sell yourself when you get there. But if you have an organization or organizations that diffuse that bomb, mm-hmm. where they learn how to secure themselves first, where they learn that we don't chase money, we allow money to follow us. Because if you are a brand, money will follow you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to chase money. I see too many young men, 30 and 35 and 40, talking about chasing that money. Well, that's why you still broke, because money is not attracted to you. But if you become a brand and you become valuable, money will yield to you, because money only attracts to itself.
Powerful.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we teach our kids at Trust Nation, that we don't chase money, we don't chase trophies, we don't chase medals. The greatest success story of Trust Nation is not based on a medal or a trophy, but it's based on a living testimony of our young people mm-hmm. to be able to not only walk out of Trust Nation, be successful, but to come back and to give back. Because mm-hmm. the greatest measure of success for Trust Nation is giving back.
Wow, powerful. So what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's, you know, younger, who's, you know, a new youth service worker? What kind of advice you would give them?
What are you talking about, Joseph? What are you talking about in regard to what?
In regards to a young person who wants to help, you know, young people, like if somebody who's just new in the whole field of youth service working, mm-hmm. whether it's they're in a school, social work, after school program, mm-hmm. whatever, what kind of advice would you give to them in helping young people?
The greatest advice I would give to a person coming into this service, brand new, fresh off the market, I would give you the same speech you would probably get on the airplane if a steward or stewardess would tell you, put your oxygen on first before you start to assist others. Because what happens is that you will feel so overwhelmed, and you'll feel, in the Spanish culture, they call it bendito. And you start feeling so sorry. Bendito. You feel so sorry for everybody. What happens is that because you have oxygen, if you start to give people your oxygen, mm-hmm. then they're going to depend on your breath. And then when your breath is gone, you are now breathless. Now you're suffocating, and they're breathing just fine. So you have to take care of yourself first and allow them to be taught how to get the same air you have. Invite them to know how to get it. Don't give them yours, but give them the solution to getting air. And that will keep you preserved in this industry.
That's powerful. So what's for the, what's the future? What does the future hold for Trust Nation?
Man, I'm trying to figure that out. Listen, it's so crazy. My boys are growing up. Y'all have to listen. My children, I had them since they've been 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. I'm very blessed to see them grow successful. A lot of them are in college now.
Yep,
I have
about
12 boys in school, 12 boys in college. Three of them are playing college basketball. Mm-hmm. Of those boys, I have one or two that are actually currently giving back to the society that we live in, Kissimmee. And so we're doing some positive things moving forward. I would like to focus my attention on the 18 and older, mm-hmm. only because a lot of these young people are stuck in systems that don't really pay them attention. And by the time they get out of the system, which is about 18, they realize that they've probably been treated worse than a prostitute on the side of the road, which mm-hmm. is, I give you all my service, but therefore you don't need me anymore. Once the kid feels like they're not needed anymore, mm-hmm. they start to rebel. And I think their rebellion, the 18 to about 25, 30 generation, their rebellion is greater than ISIS. It's greater than any Al-Qaeda. It is greater than any Middle Eastern type of approach, because these are the bombs you can't see. Because,
yeah.
see, you can, crazy is when you don't know it. Crazy is when you can't tell. When you can't tell somebody will kill themselves, when you can't tell, most of these young people, most of these things we deal with is, oh, these people are crazy because they're cutting people's heads off. Well, baby, they're letting you know they'll do it. But what about the ones you can't tell us about? Uh-huh. Well, you can't tell that the kid sitting right next to you is about to blow up in 3, 2, 1. And that's the generation we're dealing with is ticking time bombs. And I need men and women of all types of men and women of faith, mm-hmm. men and women that really believe in these kids, that believe that we can do something great. We have to defuse these bombs. We have to at least give it an attempt to try to do something to show these young people that they are actually greater than just on paper, because on paper they are an adult. But most of these young people that are 18, 19, 20, they're just as worse as a 14 and 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. And in my age, I got guys my age, and at my age, I'm looking at them like, y'all still smoking and drinking and talking mm-hmm. about sleeping with this woman and that woman, stuff we talked about when we were in high school, but we're not 30, and you're now talking about the same stuff.
Yeah,
that's hurtful. Wrong. And, yep. and they're the ones giving your children information.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do something to start developing these streams of connection that will allow the kids to grow and foster better identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the TrustNation.org is under construction, right? Well, you're like right. you're setting up a new...
I do have some couple of things. Just made some adjustments. The reason why I made those adjustments were because I was... How can I say this? I've been pushed in a different direction. In this ministry, and the word ministry is not just a churchy thing. Ministry is your platform to how you distribute goods mm-hmm. to an individual, and we distribute goods through athletics. However, I'm taking on more of a life coaching platform, because I want to be able to coach people how to deal with life. You know, Joseph, you've helped me since we've been working together, you know, see how even how we deal with young people, because you come with a fresh perspective from up north. I learned even yesterday how I need to be tougher, you know, mm-hmm. because a lot of the kids, they like to be felt sorry for. They yeah. like, and so me getting caught up in this neighborhood mm-hmm. for a long time, my mentality started to drift to that. My God, feel sorry. So I'm realizing that there's a life coaching aspect where I am a coach. I'm a coach where I can strategize on the court, but I'm learning that I can also strategize off the court. And it's the same thing. I think everybody's an all-star, regardless if they wear a basketball uniform or dribble a basketball. I believe that we can all be teammates in this game of life, and we can score together. And I think that's something that needs coaching. And even as a coach, I need coaching. I sat with Joseph this morning for about 30 minutes so that Joseph could tell me how to keep myself together. So every good coach needs a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Every good leader sure. needs to be led. And that's why Trust Nation succeeds, because we humble under the hand of a powerful God
mm-hmm.
that lets us know that we need to do things a lot more strategic and be held accountable for every action that we take.
That's powerful. LJ, thank you for being on our podcast.
Appreciate that.
We've actually been talking about having a or help me helping LJ start a Trust Nation podcast, right?
That would be beautiful. But Joseph charged too much money. He wants to charge me too much.
So hopefully, you know, that'll be starting up very soon. But I would encourage anybody to check out the website, www.trustnation.org. See what they're doing. It's a wonderful work that they are doing, helping these young people change their lives, not just with athletics, not just in academics, but their character and their spiritual well-being. Again, thank you, LJ, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you listening.
Yep. Again, you can reach us if you have any questions. Reach me at thehavenpodcast@gmail.com. You could also follow us on Twitter @thehavenpodcast. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.